Blog Talk Radio.
Hola. Yeah.
Where you come to that thing the other day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thursday night, boys and girls, and you know what that means. It's time for Eat Me on Mancini Media. We're coming to you from, I don't know, New York City, Los Angeles, some other town. We have no idea, no clue. We are missing Eli tonight. He is at a car show. Showcasing his pride and joy, and so he'll be gone tonight, but we've got in his place, we're bringing in a young lady by the name of Cindy Montgomery. Cindy resides here at the Home for the Feeble-Minded with me and my wife, and boy, I'm telling you, we had one hell of a meal tonight. We had a Cobb salad with avocado, blue cheese crumbles, lots of bacon. And it was quite enjoyable, along with homemade chicken noodle soup. But I digress. Remember sitting in your parents' third seat in the family station wagon? You were always staring out the back window, never seeing where you were going, just where you'd been. And your sister baked in an edible cake in her Easy Bake Oven. Remember those? Using only a light bulb. She thought she was baking a real cake. Well, we here at Eat Me remember that stuff. Our moms tried to poison us with Jell-O recipes found in the back of Boys Life magazine, but we showed them we survived anyway. No seatbelts. Remember, just your mother's right arm to supposedly keep you from going through the windshield? Well, yeah, that wasn't going to work. Anyway, it's Thursday night. You're listening to Eat Me on Mancini Media. Eli, as I mentioned, is absent tonight, but we still have Captain Jet to help us out. And, of course, from Sarasota, Florida, Precious Peggy.
Hello.
And Mr. Dairy Winkle himself from West Virginia, and yours truly, and Cindy Montgomery from the old folks' home in the desert. So for God's sakes, keep your hands and feet inside the car until it fully stops, and may God have mercy on our souls. I'm John Guy.
Hey, John, do you know that we already have 56 listeners?
No
and
way.
We have,
I mean,
Dante from Las Cruces, New Mexico says, this show is dope crazy. I love it. What are you cooking tonight? So we better cook up something good for Dante.
Well, yeah, well, we're going to be talking tonight about the Roadkill Festival in Marlinton, West Virginia. And it's been on the Discovery Channel, the Travel Channel, the Food Network, and thousands of people show up for Roadkill there in West Virginia. And we're going to be talking about that and ramps. Do I have Carrie Ellison on? Is Mr. Derrywinkle with us yet? I talked to him earlier and reminded him about tonight's show, so I'm sure he'll be piping in. Peggy, how the hell are you?
I'm just fine. And I was thinking, you know, we have a restaurant here called Linger Lodge, and it has a whole roadkill menu, and it has taxidermy animals all over it.
Oh, wow.
So that could be West Virginia.
Well, Marlinton, West Virginia, get this. This is their menu. Stewed black bear mixed with chili and beans. Quail meatballs, venison, snapping turtle, iguana, and squirrel gravy on biscuits.
Ooh. Have you ever tried that?
The first one is stewed black bear mixed with chili and beans. No, hell no.
That's from roadkill?
That's roadkill, yeah. It says they may or may not have been seasoned with some asphalt. But, yeah, it attracts thousands of people there in West Virginia to eat roadkill. And, quail meatballs. Yeah, snapping turtle, iguana. What? How do you run over an iguana in West Virginia? They are not native. They're not native to West Virginia. But we're also going to be talking about ramps. And if you're not familiar with ramps, they're kind of like wild onions. They grow in West Virginia, too. Eli's missing a West Virginia-themed show tonight, but they have the Feast of the Ramson there in the ramp capital of the world. And they have, what do we have in here? Let me see. They do, dinner consists of ramps, potatoes, brown beans, cornbread, ham and bacon, desserts, and God, I wish Mr. Derrywinkle was on, because Gubb's Sassafras Tea, which is also available for sale, Gubb's, G-U-B apostrophe S, not Grubb's, Gubb's, Gubb's Sassafras Tea. Oh my God! I mean, what the hell are these people thinking? That's in Richwood, West Virginia, at the Armory, which is now the community center, and they charge $20 to sit outside and eat ramps, potatoes, brown beans, cornbread, ham and bacon, desserts, and, of course, Gubb's Sassafras Tea. Ask for it by name. Gubb's.
Did these ramps wild? Ramps are wild.
They're like wild onions that grow out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out there and you get your ramps and cook them up. And that's when you're out there trying to find the ginseng, too, or going to your ginseng patch, because that is a highly lucrative. That replaces moonshine anymore in West Virginia.
Huh.
Ginseng. They sell it. The buyers come in every week. And you bring your ginseng in, and they just call it sang in West Virginia, and they buy it by the pound. And you can get really, really well-to-do by if you have some good ginseng, and it all goes to China, evidently.
I
don't think
here. a lot of people use ginseng in recipes.
What do we use it on? What do we
you
season?
Can make tea with it. It's kind of a curative thing. So if you've got a bad cold, if you have illnesses, ginseng, you can get it in different forms, but you can get it like in a liquid form that you just pour into your tea. And
well,
the interesting thing about ginseng is the shape of it is what gives it value. I used to have a friend who was a ginseng hunter in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I heard it's good for energy. I heard it's good to give you energy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I bet.
Okay. Yeah. I took it when I was younger for energy.
Energy. Okay.
Ginseng and biloba. I think it was biloba.
Biloba?
Yeah, you got it at the health food store.
Okay. Now, Cindy, you're originally from
Indiana,
and that's because that's where Eli lives. That's where I was born and raised, and my wife also. She's.
Oh, sorry. I said I'm from Lawrenceburg, Indiana, which is the Seagram's capital of the world. Seagram's whiskey, Seagram's soda, or not Seagram's soda, Seagram's whiskey.
They make that in Lawrenceburg?
Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Yep.
Because of all the corn?
I suppose. I see that happen.
That's in southern Indiana, right? Right by the Ohio. Oh.
Yep.
Peggy, we know nudist camps there right by the Ohio River.
Oh, yeah.
And Rising Sun. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Up to 136 listeners now.
136 people have tuned in?
Right, and Lance, Pensacola.
They have nothing else to do?
I don't know. Lance from Pensacola, Florida says, "Hi, everyone. How are you all? How are y'all doing? What's the rest of your tribe? Where are the rest of your tribe members?"
Oh, wow.
I guess they're AWOL. We don't know. They're coming in sometime.
They'll come. They'll show up. I mean, like I said, I talked to Paco there in West Virginia, the only West Virginian that has a Mexican name, and he assured me that the Dairy Winkle is going to be represented tonight, and. We were going to be able to talk about, you know, weenies because...
Weenies today.
That's right. Cindy comes in with the little Vienna sausages, which, you know, I, of course, immediately am thinking, you know, the Jewish tradition of bris. And... you know, that's what it reminds me of. They do. They look like.
That's nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, she brought something for lunch today. And.
Well, I had to get rid of them before they expired. But, you know, your other friend probably would have taken them.
He would have taken them. Yes, we could have taken them to the dented can. And
he probably would have expired. Just so we could eat them expired.
Well, and then Eli, who's absent tonight, he loves expired food.
I didn't tell you this before, but they used to call me the queen of expiration because I worked at a food bank.
Okay.
And all the food that I used to bring home was either expired or on the verge of expired.
Well.
So you never know what you were going to get, like milk. My friend would come over, he says, "Do you have any milk?" I'd say, "Yes," in the fridge. He'd look at the date and say, "Not drinking that, it's expired." I said, "I'm sure it's good for another couple of weeks. Give it a try."
That's right. Just because it looks like cottage cheese, I mean, big deal.
And you just eat it as cottage cheese.
That's right. Well,
right.
Eli, for next week, is going to be eating. Did you see this? You saw this, didn't you, Peggy?
Yeah.
What? It's a hot dog with Velveeta cheese melted, and then Chef Boyardee ravioli. And you eat it all together on a bun. On a bun.
Huh.
That's... Yeah, he's going to eat it for next week's show. He's going to have sampled. Eli loves, I think, if Eli ever decided to become gay, Chef Boyardee would be his boyfriend. He's really into Chef Boyardee and the cuisine.
Oh, we're up to 152
listeners.
That's
right.
One.
Yeah, quick and easy. I don't know. Peggy, we got any comments, commentary?
Yes. We have 152 listeners now, and Dalen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts says, "Wiener time in the West. Sounds like a threesome. No wonder John's smiling." Dalen, what a wild guy.
And I can vouch for the fact that he is smiling.
I did Tai Chi today, Peggy. Have you ever done Tai Chi?
Yes, I love it. Doesn't it feel good?
I really enjoy Tai Chi. And we have Jack, the Tai Chi guy, who comes in every Thursday. And we do chair Tai Chi. Because many of us are confined to wheelchairs or are missing, you know, limbs and various other parts of the body. And we don't balance well. No, we do not. But we do Tai Chi. And so Tai Chi in the afternoon and then a Cobb salad for dinner, and I have strawberry ice cream waiting for me in the freezer when I get back to my glorious, well, I don't know, conflated my humble abode here at the home for the feeble-minded, yes. But,
caller.
Well.
From Lincoln, Nebraska, says, "Who the hell is, was that a cologne at one time?" Oh, he's thinking of Paco Rabanne cologne, right? You know what that
I
is?
Suppose. Yeah.
And Paco, now we're up to 195 listeners. So they're growing.
How many?
195. Thanks, guys, for
195 already?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's we're going to hit 400 tonight, aren't we, Peggy?
I sure hope so. That'd be great.
I'm thinking that's my goal for the night. Now, you know, and I've got Eli roped into this too, but I'm working with a group that's trying to bring indoor football to Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's the same league that Orlando has a team in, the Orlando Predators. Mm-hmm. And we're going after Bud Light because of their disastrous marketing plan. We're going to hit them up for $3.5 million. And we're going to basically go, look, guys, you know, you screwed the pooch on this transgender on a beer can. It's a little ahead of the times. But, yeah. And they could have done it. They could have done it in such a way that they could have possibly slid under the bar had they gotten a transgender female, perhaps, that did rodeo. Okay, that's a manly kind of sport, and you could put that person on a beer can. But, yeah, no. They use some person of notoriety that, no, not a sports figure, and so that's unfortunate. But if you'll remember, Budweiser used to have the commercials with the guys with mustaches dressed in dresses. Yes, and they would they'd go in on ladies' night so they could get cheap Budweiser at the bars. I met them at the Super Bowl here in Phoenix, which was only memorable to me. I never watched the game. I've been to two Super Bowls, and I've never seen either one. I don't even.
You were just there to socialize.
I was there to socialize. And, you know, when you're up in a press box at a big stadium, they look like little tiny ants down there. I can see it better on my TV. And
in the press box, I'm sure there's a lot of other more fun things going on.
There are. And they brought a Clydesdale into the Hilton Hotel Ballroom here in Phoenix for the Budweiser party. They had a 17-year-old serving beer and a Clydesdale horse in the ballroom that was incontinent. And it was quite the party. And guys with mustaches dressed in dresses. Yeah. And it was quite
the
party.
There's Budweiser girls, right, that come to the bars to promote Budweiser.
Yes.
I suppose
yes.
They have equal opportunity to let the guys come in and do that.
That's right. Yep. That's right. I did the Super Bowl also in Tampa. Good old Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that game either. That was the Bears, I believe. Bears and somebody. I don't know. Didn't see the game. Came home early. How many listeners?
Tony from McKeesport, Pennsylvania says, sounds like Three's Company, John Ritter and the two nurses. Where is Leatherface and Bible Bill?
I don't know.
With the lizard eater that lives in a motorhome. Ha ha. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How people can get out of this show.
Well, and I think it's fascinating that Ray, Captain Jet, is referred to as Leatherface anymore.
That doesn't seem like that'd be right. Yeah.
But, you know, he wears that funny helmet, and God knows, he lives and dies with his New York Jets.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And here's the thing about Budweiser Light. Bud Light sponsors the NFL draft, just the draft, okay? And each team in the NFL... Peggy, you might want to check this out. How many teams are in the NFL? Because each team gets $7 million. Each team.
Wow.
And there's what, like, I don't know, 32 teams? Some. The whole league. It's like 32. But each team gets $7 million just for the NFL draft. Not this season. Not a game. 32. And that's how much they give each team. So we're going after a much smaller number. And, you know, for $3.5 million, I'm thinking we would get we'd offer squirrel gravy on biscuits. We're just that giving.
That would only take a small chunk out of those three.
That's right. I mean, how much could squirrel gravy on biscuits actually cost? We would be able to put a lot of money in our pockets, I'm thinking. But no.
We could get donations of the squirrel gravy from the people that like it.
Well, and in Indiana, we've got a lot of squirrels. A lot of squirrels. But apparently, and I know that Paco would be able to tell us, since he runs a dive in outside of Charleston, West Virginia. But you know, the Dairy Winkle asked for it by name. But you know, he'd probably tell you just exactly how you could make a skunk. There's got to be a way. I don't know, deep fried and breaded.
Got to be a way to get that stink gland out of there so it's just not, does it taste like it smells?
Yeah, I don't know. A skunk. That's got to be gamey.
That's your ultimate black tie, black and white event.
Yes, that's right. It's a black and white tie event. And, of course, you'd wash it down with Gubbs. Sassafras tea, asked for it by name. Gubbs, it's got to be damn good. Anyway,
really?
I just came up with that for Gubbs. Hell,
yeah,
I could be the marketer. Gubbs could be a sponsor of an indoor football team. Yeah.
Oh, I like Gubbs. That. Want to try that.
Yeah. No, we've got it figured out where Eli's going to bring his little pimp mobile onto the field through, we're going to douse the lights and then pop smoke, and then all you'll see is headlights, and then he'll slowly come through the smoke. It'll be like Christine, you know? It'll be eerie. Because
there's smoke.
Well, there's smoke and there's headlights. That's right. And
as Eli,
my goal is always in any sport to scare the living hell out of all children who appear. I once was able to get two evil-looking clowns who could walk on stilts, breathe fire, and juggle machetes. Two of them. I had them for opening night for a baseball game, and let me tell you, the children were terrified. They are probably still 20 years later having bad dreams about the evil clowns breathing fire.
Wow.
I sleep like a baby at night knowing that I've terrified small children, you know. And I mean, hell, I used to be a preschool teacher. I was a Head Start director, and I told all my children, all my 4-year-olds, that the Easter Bunny was fictitious, that the Easter Bunny had died and had been replaced. Well, no, but he'd been replaced by an Easter monkey, and the monkey was on roller skates, and he would skate past their houses and throw eggs. And, of course, you know, 4-year-olds, they'll believe anything. That's the joy. The joy of 4-year-olds. I did it to torment the kids. That's right. I mean, I worked at the Foundation for Blind Children here in Phoenix. I was a preschool teacher there, certified by the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind, and I used to play hide and seek with my blind kids, and they sucked. I'm just saying. They sucked at hide and seek. You know, they couldn't hide worth a damn. And I would creep up behind them, and they would be like 4, 5, 6 years old, and I would go, "Hello, Timmy," and they would scream and pee in their pants, and I just thought it was hilarious, you know. But you've got to treat the disabled like normal people. That's the whole point. to playing hide and seek with blind kids because you know they're going to suck at it.
By
That's
the way,
right. What?
Kenneth from Peoria, Arizona. I don't know where that is. Is that close to you?
Yes,
anyway,
that is right next door to where we live.
Well, he has this idea for a nude women's football team. He thinks that would be a hoot.
Has he watched the Lingerie League? Because I came across it on, I don't know, one of my channels here at the home. And yes, and they are wearing very revealing shorts as players. Their butt cheeks show. I mean, just out there in full glory. Yeah, you got to have your butt cheeks showing, and they're playing football. They're not real good at it.
They don't have to.
But by the same token, I don't think anyone's going to the games to experience football.
Who cares?
The Lingerie Football League. Yeah, it came across, I don't know, ESPN2 or something, 3, Ocho. I don't know. I don't know what teams were even playing. I was just so fascinated looking at the butts. And they have very low-cut blouses. So when they bend over to hike the ball, well, you're getting quite a show. I should be doing that instead of indoor football, Peggy.
Yeah, that's what our friend from Peoria, Kenneth from Peoria, Arizona, thinks that would be a good idea.
It would be.
Albert from Poway, which I'm not sure where Poway is, but anyway, he
New
says
Jersey.
I've now had. Oh, he said he's now had 4 beers. Lauren, I'm ready for the show. Gosh.
10 beers. He's going to be up all night long peeing, isn't he? My God. 10 beers.
Then it may take him like 6 beers.
That's right. He could, here at the home for the feeble-minded and aged, we welcomed, no, we said goodbye to our director. She was leaving, and a new lady was coming in to, you know, be the warden here. And they served, we had kick-ass margaritas.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, yeah. You had your choice of boxed wine, beer, or margaritas. And we took advantage. Yes, we did. They were very potent margaritas, and I just kept sitting there thinking to myself, really? We're giving 95-year-old margaritas, heavily laced margaritas. What could possibly go wrong? But I'm on the I'm going to be on the resident council, and my suggestion was archery, because you give some of these people in their wheelchairs a bow and arrow, and well, needless to say, you've got a YouTube moment. we could become famous very, very quickly.
It'd be like the wheelchair would be the chariot, and they'd be firing off the arrows like Ben-Hur or something like that, you think?
That's right. Chariots in their wheelchairs.
Yeah.
The train where I would pull a lady in her wheelchair, and she took my cane and attached it to the back of the chair with the handle to the back of the chair, and then she would hang on to this part. And we would go around like a choo-choo train. I would pull her to her room. I'd pull her to the dining room. It's better than waiting for help.
Did you ever ever hitchhike on the back of a car during the winter.
No.
You know, that takes.
Is it the winter or summer?
No, you want to do it in the winter because you're going to slide on the ice and snow behind the car, and
like skiing.
Yeah, with an automobile. I mean, again, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, you used to do that when I was a kid behind a tractor. We have skis, and when you're in a flat area on the plains of Minnesota, you really can't ski very well because there's hardly any hills. So they pull a track ski right behind it.
Well, I bet you could get four skiers on a tractor like that.
You probably could.
Four at one time.
Well, and then you move to Florida, where they have Weekiwachi, don't they?
Yeah.
Weekiwachi Springs, and then you have beautiful girls doing water skiing. Yeah, and they do
underwater kind of ballet theater.
Ooh, like aerobics. Or, well, like dancing underwater.
Like mermaids.
Like, what's that lady's name? Esther Williams.
Esther Williams.
Yeah.
Swimming with
it. She was fascinating, Esther Williams. But they do it here now. They ski, like they're skiing the snow mountain, but they use sand. The sand hills.
Oh, that
would make sense. Yeah, there's a place called Glamis, and it's all sand dunes. And I saw the show where they were skiing down the sand dunes like they were on snow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you've got right across the border in California, you've got the Imperial Sand Dunes, which is where they filmed Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And, they did Star Wars there, and it's the largest natural dunes in North America. And that's kind of neat to see.
Really?
One time.
White sands in New Mexico or the
Alamogordo. Huh. That's New Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have the hills there that you could snow down, ski down. Is it just flatland in Alamogordo? Or
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's a mountain.
There's big dunes, big white dunes. I remember going to the national park or something there.
Yeah.
And perfect for that, yeah.
Yeah, it would be. So give us an update, Miss Peggy. White Sands is hilly.
Yeah, it's hilly. Beautiful.
We don't have the guy in the bathroom again, do we?
No, we don't have anybody else now. So far, we've got 232 listeners, but I haven't heard anything else from Mark about who's called in.
I'll be darned. Leatherface. I love it. Leatherface, yeah. Captain Jet is he's a retired mortician. He's seen and or worked on 16,000 dead bodies during his tenure as a mortician. And then he retired and became a New York Jets fan, which it's a parallel kind of thing because you almost have to be dead to be a Jets fan in this day and age. No, that's Eli. Eli was a bicycle policeman in Indianapolis, just retired, and he's had what's the number, Miss Peggy? Two heart attacks and three strokes, or something weird?
But yeah, cancer. He's had all this stuff happen, but he seems to be in incredible health, and he on Facebook, he posts the stuff he eats, and my God, he eats it enough for an army. But he's in good shape.
Well, he's
going to
stay healthy.
Football player, right?
He played semi-pro football for me. Anytime I had a team in Indiana, Eli was my center. So I've uncovered photos of him when he was 18. And he still looks the very same. But he's had, what, both knees replaced, two heart attacks, two strokes. He's had everything.
Well, he can eat whatever he wants because he's like a cockroach.
Yeah, his immune system must just be
stronger than ever.
Yeah.
He can eat all that stuff.
I don't know.
I've been through a lot of health issues myself, and so I always like to say I'm like a cockroach. I just keep coming back because nothing's killed me yet.
What's the strangest food you've ever eaten? What do you think?
I feel like it is the, it's the eggplant. It's got to be the eggplant. When I was young, my mother, stepmother, and my brother think she did it out of cruelty. I think she did it because she didn't know what she was doing. But she took an eggplant, which we'd never had in our lives, cut it into about 1-inch thick steaks, grilled it in a skillet on the stove, and had us eat it. It was disgusting. I don't even think it was cooked all the way. You definitely don't eat eggplant like that. So I have found in my adult life, we were sitting at all of it. We had 7 kids in the family. We only had 1 dog.
Ah.
And we were all trying to feed our eggplant to the dog, but she didn't want it either. But we were all crying and asking if we could get up and leave the table. And I think the folks were fighting, so they said, no, you're going to sit there and eat it, taking their anger out on us, you know.
I feel the same way about broccoli.
Oh, yeah.
I told my Head Start kids, my 4-year-olds, that broccoli was the devil's food, and that in the event that we, because Head Start loves to serve fresh raw broccoli to the little kids, and I would tell them, if you eat too much of this, you will go to hell. It is the devil's food.
I think if we would have eaten too much of that eggplant, that's probably where we would have ended up.
Probably.
Maybe she's there for feeding it to us. I don't know. It was pretty bad.
Eggplant.
I've had eggplant tacos, actually.
Eggplant tacos?
Eggplants like that. I think they just cook it in a skillet.
Really?
By the way, we're up to 288 listeners.
Nice.
That's not bad.
Did you say you had eggplant tacos?
Yeah. She grilled the eggplant, and it actually when it was cut up in a taco, it was pretty good with other vegetables.
Yeah,
kind of different.
I think it could almost have like a meat texture in a way if you did it right.
Mm-hmm. If you have the right steak.
Yeah, like the 1-inch thick that she cut it would have been more like a steak, but there was no seasoning, there was nothing on it, and it just tasted horrible. And
yeah,
the only way I've had it since then, I've had it in eggplant parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that?
Yeah, that's good.
No, I do like that. I do like it now, I have to say. I'll never eat it like that again, what she did, but I love the eggplant parmesan.
Eggplant would go well with the stewed black bear.
I probably would.
Yeah, stewed black bear with chili beans and eggplant.
By the way,
what?
Did I tell you we're up to 288 listeners? Did I say that already?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We have Harry from Atascadero, California, who says, Jet suck. Leatherface doing another Texas Chainsaw movie. What happened with the Chariots of Fire talk? Well, we often do. We go different directions. So,
yeah.
We kind of
yeah.
That.
I mean, wait till football season. I mean, now that they've got Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, I would imagine he's going to be very, very busy during the football season.
Who's got Aaron Rodgers now?
The Jets.
Oh, my God. Wow.
He got traded from the Green Bay Packers to the New York Jets.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that's...
And,
I was always a fan of his playing for the Packers.
Yeah.
Why would he not stay with the Packers?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Okay.
But are you a Vikings fan, Peggy?
Yeah, sort of. I like the Vikings, I like the Packers, and I like you can tell I'm really
Steelers?
Patriots.
Oh, down in one of the Florida teams?
No.
The Buccaneers?
The Buccaneers, yeah. Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, they have that. Oh, goodness. The one that was going to retire and then didn't retire and came back. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Huh.
I'm a Saints fan.
I was reading today. What?
We got another comment here. Zach from Missouri says, sounds like Leatherface has been embalmed. Cindy sounds great. Was she a dancer? Just getting the impression I got some dollar bills.
I'm telling you. No, I was reading today that, remember Whitey Bulger? The mafia kingpin from Boston that lasted all of 6 hours in a federal penitentiary before the other inmates beat him to death? Well, apparently Whitey was a big hockey fan. And his, I don't know, one of his relatives married an NHL hockey player. And apparently Whitey footed the bill for the wedding or something. But, Whitey actually would show up to NHL All-Star games, and this is while he was on the lam. You know, it's kind of like John Dillinger showing up at a Cubs game when he was public enemy number one. You know, it's not the wisest decision.
He did that, though, didn't he?
Didn't
he play? Wasn't he a baseball player?
Yes, he was. He played for the Mooresville Athletics in Mooresville, Indiana. And
right.
When he went to Pendleton as a first-time offender, they traded him to Michigan City, the state penitentiary, because Michigan City needed a second baseman. So they traded for John Dillinger, and he shifted from the Pendleton Reformatory to the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City as a second baseman. The wardens did all that. His nickname was Rabbit. Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
Roadkill Rabbit.
Roadkill Rabbit. There you go.
What are they called?
And, yes, Gubbs Sassafras. Tonight's episode of Eat Me is being brought to you by Gubbs Sassafras
Tea.
Ask for Gubbs. If it says Gubbs, it's got to be good. That's right. Gubbs Sassafras Tea. I'm going to go look that up on the internet and see if I can actually order some.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, because you're not going to find...
That's like root beer, isn't it? Sassafras?
It's kind of like root beer, yes.
Yeah.
I would go that far. It would be sort of a root beer tea, but you'd have that with your squirrel gravy on biscuits or your quail meatballs. They don't have Gubbs on the internet? Oh, jeez. G-U-B apostrophe S.
You should be the marketing person for Gubbs.
I know.
Nobody's heard of it.
No one's ever heard of it. They could sponsor an indoor football team. To hell with Bud Light. You know, Gubb's Sassafras Tea isn't ever going to have a transgender person on their Jug-O Tea.
They have Gumbo Sassafras.
Gumbo Sassafras. Gumbo Filet Sassafras. I don't know. I'm holding out for Gubbs. Yeah. You what?
We got 302 listeners, so we broke 300. Yay!
We broke 300. That's good. That's good. That's not a mark of excellence. We don't go after marks of excellence here on Eat Me. Our bar is pretty damn low. It really is. And so as long as we can eclipse 300, we're happy. We're happy. And we –
Here's a fun fact.
A fun fact.
Fun fact.
Okay.
Okay. Gumbo Filet Sassafras was originally used by cooks in the Choctaw tribe as a thickener and flavoring. Sassafras root is the basis of root beer, so the powder infuses everything with a similarly earthly-rich flavor, but with a more verdant quality. It should be added to dishes toward the end of cooking. Fun fact.
There you go. So
go.
Remember, boys and girls, ask for it by name. If it says Gubbs, it's got to be good. Gubbs, that's also available for sale.
Maybe you could cook like hot dogs in Gubb's tea for a unique flavor.
I've got to find where they make Gubb's Sassafras tea. I've got to get in touch with them. We need to have them on the show. We need a Gubb's representative.
Right.
Even just a Gubbs user would probably
in fact, this is
good on this show.
And it's a West Virginia thing, and so possibly if their marketing director or president could be a guy named Goober, Goober Gubb, and Goober Gubb.
Governor Gubb.
Governor Goober Gubb. Wow. Yeah, Gubb's Sassafras Tea. Anyway, oh, my God, we're going to find that. As God is my witness.
It's used for many things, but syphilis is the one thing that you could use it for. Actually, it's the
what? Or, oh, urinary tract disorders
and
syphilis. Sassafras and possibly Gubb's is... is a cure-all for syphilis.
And gout. And forms of cancer, high blood pressure.
No, I'm going to just stick with syphilis. UTIs, it's a toss-up between UTIs and syphilis. And, you know, Peggy, you're there in Florida, and Al Capone died of syphilis there in your home state.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't want to die of syphilis. That's a nasty way to go. It just sort of rots your brain. And, you know, that's the least of your worries, I would think.
It says that sassafras also helps reduce inflammation, so... It'd be a good thing to have a cup of sassafras tea every day.
It is good for high blood pressure and older people. Yeah.
Yeah, we should be drinking it here at the home.
Well,
we probably should.
Yeah.
You know.
The thing with seniors is when they get a UTI, it acts like dementia, and it's very hard to diagnose. And a lot of people actually die from UTIs because they turn into sepsis because they wait too long to treat it.
Yeah.
And, my God, it's crazy. The way they start acting is like really
totally, like, not like themselves. It's like they have dementia. They can't remember. They get disoriented. And you wouldn't think a simple UTI would cause something like that.
It sounds like me. Yeah, it sounds very much like me.
You know you have syphilis.
It's probably just syphilis.
Just hiding it as a
It's a syph. And sassafras tea will take care of that. See,
but sassafras tea, it says, the chemical that's in sassafras is maybe a human carcinogen, and it's also used in production of illegal drugs like MDMA, commonly known as ecstasy or Molly.
Wow.
So that's something
oh.
To make that with?
Sassafras, apparently. It says if you experience any symptoms like sweating, vomiting, or hot flashes, discontinue immediately and consult your health care provider.
Ooh.
So you got it.
Yeah. Anytime you take a supplement, you got to be so careful.
Quite honestly, there's a very good chance that the five people in the little submarine, they probably were ingesting sassafras and everybody exploded.
They imploded.
They imploded.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Yeah.
Goodness.
And they paid $250,000 each to do it.
Did they really?
Yeah, $250,000 was the price tag.
Just an Xbox game thing?
Xbox game control. And they bought all the parts for the submarine at Home Depot, which similar to putting a trans person on a Bud Light can. It's really not going to be good for the marketing at Home Depot after the submarine implosion, I don't think.
Where it says that the sassafras, up until 1960, was used to make a similar drink to root beer, and then they found out that it was caused cancer, so they outlawed it. The drug company, drugs.com, is saying this, that it's now illegal to use it in the United States in a food product.
Well, and it's like the origins of Coke.
Yes, or morphine even.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You could
drink your cocaine, you know. I mean, why shoot it when you?
Is that left, but we have 325 listeners.
Wow.
325, and we've only got about two more minutes left.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Can't we pay for another hour?
Yeah, didn't that hour go by awfully damn fast?
Always does. Once we get going, we're on a roll. We really thank the listeners for calling in, too.
And so tonight on a food-based show, we've spoken about imploding submarine syphilis, Gubb's sassafras tea, ask for it by name, and roadkill. We haven't really stayed on topic much at all.
We missed talking about the turtles.
Yeah, we should have talked about turtles. God.
Okay, I was driving down this road in Brown County Park, Indiana, and there was a box turtle in the middle of the road. And my uncle, we were driving, he didn't see it, and he drove right over it. And I said, stop, there's something in the road. Luckily, it wasn't underneath the tires. It was right in the middle. And we went back, and it was a cute little box turtle. And so we picked it up and put it back in the woods so that it wouldn't get smashed by a car and become roadkill, because that would have been just sad. But it was the first time I'd ever seen a box turtle.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten turtle?
No.
I haven't either.
One of our friends accidentally caught one on the river, but boy, those things are vicious.
Oh. We've got to say good night. It's been another wonderful Thursday. We thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio and Mancini Media. We will see you next Thursday. Until then, for Eli's sake, eat something really, really crappy. Anyway, I'm John Guy.
Cindy
and
Montgomery.
I'm Peggy.
And we're going to say goodnight. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.